141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night in the Scottish Premiership title race. Celtic make their move into second, beating Aberdeen to go a point ahead of Rangers and five behind Hearts, and they've now all finally played the same number of games. Speaking of which, Motherwell have their game in hand at home to Dundee this weekend. We're going to hear from Jens Bertil Askew, and it's on to the Scottish Cup, but you're never truly away from the title race because it's Rangers against Celtic yet again. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, it's certainly all heating up in the league campaign. Celtic going up to Pittodrie last night and getting a valuable 3 points, leapfrogging Rangers into second place. So all of a sudden, there's a title challenge on. Then you're looking at the Scottish Cup this week, Gordon, starting tomorrow night. Some really good fixtures. There could be some cup shocks because you're looking at Falkirk, Dundee United, which would be a terrific game. But my cup shocks are my old friend Partick Thistle going to a St Mirren team that's not hitting the heights. And then can Neil Lennon do it again? He was up at Pittodrie watching the game last night, so he's obviously doing his homework in Aberdeen. And then you've got the massive game once again at Ibrox, looking forward to it.
Killian, let's face it, games in hand are annoying because the word "if" just gets bandied about so often. It's good to know where everybody sits. So it was an important night last night, it feels like.
Yeah, definitely, especially for Celtic. It was probably a game, given how Aberdeen have been pretty much all season, it was a game probably a lot of fans and people would have expected them just to go up and win. They probably made a little bit more hard work than they would have wanted to. But like you're saying, it is good too, where you can just see everyone right now. Everyone's at a equal stage of what they've played and stuff. So it's all to play for now.
Let's do it. 0141 951 1025. How big do you think last night was then? What do you think of the title race now? This is the beauty of this. Every single time there's a game, we just ask for your latest thoughts on the title race, and it works because now we know everybody's played the same. Hearts, then Celtic, then Rangers. Hearts, 5 points back Celtic, 1 point back Rangers. So where does it sit now? What do you think? Who is in the driving seat? Clearly it's Hearts arithmetically, but what about everybody's feelings out there, Celtic fans? It wasn't a brilliant performance necessarily, but again, it's a win and it's the significance of going in second place. Hearts fans, are you still feeling pretty confident? Rangers fans, do you think you can come back from third place as well as the points deficit to win that title? Do let us know. And it's Thursday night, so we're nearly at the weekend again. The dust was only just settling on Ibrox from last weekend, and we'll do it all over again. So maybe get your early thoughts in on what last weekend's fixture has done for this week's fixture, building into it, because there's been so much said about Rangers' start and Celtic's finish and everything that happened in between. So let's get right to it, please, on 0141 951 1025. Some interesting talking points, specifically from the game last night as well, about drama even before the game, where Benjamin Arthur had to come in for Dane Murray. How do you think he did? Sinisalo continued in goals and presumably will continue in goals. So what do you make of that? Are you happy enough with that, Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans? Are you a cup exit at the weekend away from your season ending? How important is it that that cup run keeps going? And Motherwell fans, come on, let's hear from you, because if last night was all about Celtic's game in hand, the next league game, and the only league game for a while, is you away to Dundee, where you can certainly close that gap. You can really enter that frame, if you're not in it already, by winning that game against Dundee. Jens Bertil Askew was speaking today, getting asked about being labelled the best football team that Chris Sutton has seen anywhere in the UK. Did you hear that? That's high praise.
Yeah. Listen, deserved praise, not high praise.
Makes the question even more severe as to why you left early when you went to see them.
A traffic, Gordon. You got to get away.
You live within walking distance.
Yeah, but the traffic, and then try to get across the road. So
at your age.
Yeah,
and I had mobility to
get,
issues.
I had to get down the road and get in. Left the heating on.
Okay, anyway, 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. We'll work our way through everything. We're kind of in a similar position, it feels like, with Celtic, Killian, where it's more about the results and the performances. people then keep asking about, can you sustain that? Can you keep doing that? But we're now in, you know, we're now in March, and we're getting what did last night sort of say overall?
Just that, yeah, they can keep doing it. They have kept doing it. Probably you have to also include in that saying, I think we kept saying, can Hearts keep winning and keep on top of the table? And they have. And then as we're saying, like, Celtic still have, they're still plucking away, not playing well, performances aren't there. But at this stage of the season, the most important thing is the results that they are getting.
I don't think it was a particularly bad performance at Pittodrie last night, Gordon, I've got to say. I think they looked comfortable in the second half. You know, they got off to a great start. I thought they started the game very well, very sharp. Obviously, Aberdeen are always going to come into it. They're a home side. And then it goes to 1-1 and you think, right, OK, who's got to be the hero? And Martin O'Neill makes a substitution. And Celtic get the win. But I thought they deserved their win. I don't think it was one of those nervy nights where Sinisalo, I know, had a terrific save from Nisbet, from the header. But apart from that, I thought Celtic looked all right.
We spoke about this last night before the game, but Benjamin Egan, the world's first central midfield poacher.
He's brilliant.
Like, I've never seen the likes before, but it's just all about his goal scoring numbers.
Do you know, he gets into some brilliant positions. You just wonder, he's not one of these midfield players that you rely on to go on the ball like Callum McGregor's and Hatate and go and pass it and make things happen. He's a guy that he's got a knack of just timing. Just, it's like a centre forward's timing. He just knows when to be in that position. And most times just now, the ball's just fallen to him. But see, the one thing I'll give him credit for, he's a good finisher. Do you know what I mean? I've seen guys getting into good positions before and fluffing their lines. You look at Maeda last night when he's doing that. He hit the corner flag and he was lucky to keep he was lucky to do that. But Nygren is just a player that he gets into that position and he just looks so composed, and he's starting to put the ball in the back of net. It's brilliant for
Celtic.
I wonder
as the kind of cliche goes, where would Celtic be without his goals this season, Killian? Because I'm sure we'll get on to number nine's been a problem position. Dyson Maeda, I suppose there was part of it that he was always going to struggle to hit those numbers from last season, but he's maybe dipped even beyond the expectation. But to have that as your main source of goals is quite something.
Yeah, and it's not as if he's a player that's really been lighting it up. Like, he divides opinion on a lot of fans, but then, like, in the day and age that we live in, everything seems to be stats dictated. Everything, mm-hmm. Everyone makes a judgment on the stats, and that's pretty much been his best attribute. His goals, assists, just his numbers. And if that's your worst thing, like, that's it's not a bad skill to have. It's I'm not saying he's any way like him, but it's similar to Frank Lampard, where he just has that timing of arriving in the box always at the right time. And although Gordon's saying how good some of his finishes are, I still think he could have had another 10 or 15 goals this season.
Yeah, well, listen, it doesn't matter if you're centre forward or you're a midfield scoring machine, you're always going to miss chances. We've all been there. So, but he's doing a great job for him so far.
01419511025. It's that big general easy question again to all of you. How do you feel about the title race now? At least everyone's played the same number in the top three. Motherwell still to join in. So what's happening? Who's favourites? What are you thinking? Give us your thoughts, with Thomas in Kilsyth kicking things off. Was that a significant night, Thomas, or are you not getting carried away? How would you sum up your feelings?
How are you doing, panel? It's just that your question, Gordon, will we get carried away? I don't think so. I mean, the performance last night wasn't very good, to be honest. Again, we struggled to get over the line, you know, and obviously Nygren pulls at the hole. But my point is on Javin Chala, Gordon. I've seen most of Javin Chala. I don't think it's what we need. The guys are striking, and he spends more time outside the box than inside the box. You know, a number nine, we need somebody that can score goals. And you just said it before, Negrin's our only outlet for goals, and he's a midfielder.
Would you make a Celtic striking issues, if you can call them that, at the moment, Killian?
I think the biggest problem for them now is they've all come in from kind of being out in the cold at clubs, and that's the problem in January when you're signing players generally. And it's hard to just hit the ground running when they're getting like maybe 45 minutes in, or just getting, they're getting one chance. You have to come in, do well, and kind of none of them has really come in and got a chance to really nail down their position. I get it's up to them to put in the performance to do that, but I do feel a little bit of sympathy towards them in terms of they're maybe getting 45 minutes to go and impress. One guy doesn't do well, and because they've signed a few all at once, it's like no one really knows who is the best striker there at the minute. And it's just like, right, we'll try him for a game or half a game. If he doesn't do well, let's throw someone else and give him a chance. Okay, he hasn't done it well, let's go back to the other guy. And it's just, it's hard to build any sort of consistency or even confidence in a player.
Is it hard to do that then when the stakes are so high? Because take Adamu as an example. At the weekend, you're away at Ibrox and you're 2-0 down in a title race. You can't get the next 45 to try and see, you know, see if it's okay. Is that part of the issue?
Yeah, and kind of like if you judged him starting off the Stuttgart game, you probably wouldn't argue against it. I thought he'd done well enough in the away game, where he looked like, yeah, he could actually be a handful and cause a bit of trouble, but didn't really do anything. And then again, he tries with Kvanchara last night, and again, not much really happening there. And then you're going back to old ways and just hoping Dyer Maeda can do something compared to last season, and it's clear to everyone that he's just not at the minute.
They have got a problem in that area, because you brought in two in January window, and everybody was crying out for centre forwards for Celtic, let's not be kidding. And you're right, we judge very quickly, but unfortunately for these lads, it's at the stage of the season where they are going to get judged very quickly, because time is running out. There's 9 league games to go, and Celtic are sitting, 5 points behind Hearts, with Rangers bringing down their neck in 1 point, and then you've got Motherwell in great form in fourth. So you were hoping that one of them was going to start really looking the part. You get back to Ibrox, Gordon. They brought two centre-forwards in to bolster Celtic's forward line, and out the two, they got 45 minutes between them, and Celtic went back to the old guard, Maeda through the middle. And I will not be surprised come Sunday, at lunchtime, that
you think Maeda leads the line again.
Yeah, and that's and it's not having a go at the guys, because sometimes, look, Chermiti was not a favourite, was he? He was getting criticised left, right and centre when he came here. The £8 million was getting thrown up. But all of a sudden, he's bagged goals against Hearts and Celtic twice. So he's sort of he's got the supporters off his back, probably a hero now because of the goals he scored. These guys, unfortunately, they've not got off to that start that Celtic are looking for. And I'd be very surprised if any of them started the game on Sunday.
I think Celtic's currently best out-and-out striker is Iheanacho. But I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with him.
Yeah, where is he, Thomas?
I don't know if you stole my point there, Gordon. That's what I was going to say. I mean, where is Iheanacho? I mean, you know what I mean? He's out to see him between Iheanacho, Kvanchara and Adamu, I think. Iheanacho is the best option. I mean, Maeda's down tools. I mean, I think you seen that last night. He was shot. He was clean free and goal, and he put it out of the park.
But is that not, is it the kind of chicken and egg thing where surely that's more about confidence? Because downing tools suggests, you know, about effort, application. I'm going to assume he didn't try and miss and drag it past the post. So is that not actually a striker that's lacking confidence? I think by this time last season, he had 27 goals. He's got 8. Now, part of that might be his attitude or his mindset and whatever, but with that then maybe comes a lack of confidence. Surely that finish was all about confidence last night.
I think so, Gordon, but even in the games before, like, he just... I don't know if it seems disinterested. I don't know. It's just there's no. Obviously, he's not the Dyson Maeda for last year.
I get that overall in the balance of a game, but I think if you're through on goal, you're not. It's not a disinterested finish. No. Does that make sense?
No. And I think the reason I'm going to say that, if you get back to the weekend there when Celtic were two down They put him up top. Now, this is a guy, he's not disinterested, because all of a sudden, Rangers defenders and goalkeeper had a lot to think about. Because the one thing he will do, his work rate's still there. He'll still go and press, he'll still go and work.
Does he still to the exact same?
I don't think Celtic's front three do it to the exact same.
So it's not all on him.
It's not all on him. And plus, the positive is, remember, it was him that was in the box with the header that got the penalty kick to get the equaliser. Look, there's 100% he's not the Dyson made of last year. We're not kidding ourselves on. But because of the situation, and you're looking at the two lads coming in, they've not really hit the ground running. I think you'll go with Maeda for that closing down and putting pressure on Rangers on Sunday.
The other thing that hurts Maeda is all the stuff that came out about him potentially moving and getting a transfer. Then as soon as he doesn't hit the same height as last season, that's just naturally going to be thrown at him. Like, oh, he's down tools, he's not interested. I agree with Gordon. I think it's just a confidence issue.
Because if a player's in their first season and not performing well, nobody can ever really say that they've down tools. Yeah. It's just something that only comes after time, and I suppose you'll never know exactly what the truth is. Thank you to Thomas. What about Gary in Blantyre? Where do you sit on the title race now, Gary, after last night? You've moved into second. Hello, Gary.
Hi, first of all, good evening, Gordon and Killian. Hope you're all well. So last night was a must-win, let's not be kidded, and we won it. I think the next league game against Motherwell is probably the biggest game of your season. Win that, go 2 points back. And that's real...
I don't know what's happening tonight. Is it the bad weather that's affected? Hold on, Gary. Your line's a bit dodgy. We'll try and get that. Try and get that cleared up a bit.
2 points behind him.
Right, hold on. Let's get Gary faded down a wee second. Then we'll try and get him back on. This is it's enjoyable start.
Yeah, Gary got off to a good start.
You got Gary's point.
They won't beat Motherwell, Gary. Right, got your question
about last night being must win. Did you agree? Had Celtic not won last night?
Yeah.
You've changed your mind every 2 days. Would you have ruled them out of the title race if they hadn't won last night?
I'm still thinking they've got a lot of work to do. I think the games are running out. I look at Hearts, next few fixtures before they split. They're quite favoured. I would reckon probably 80 points, maybe 80-odd points, I'll get you over the line.
Think 80 wins the league?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, see with the split, Gordon, I think there's got to be a lot. Well, put it this way.
I mean, I say that, I've got no idea what the number is. I just felt like I saw somebody else mention 83. 80 feels low.
Well, okay, I'll go between 80 and 83.
I've no idea.
But I think if you post 80 points just now, the way that league is, with the form, because I don't see Celtic winning every game. I don't see Rangers winning every game. Motherwell, Hibs and Hearts. When it comes to the split, there's going to be points dropped here. Let's not be kidding. And Hearts have got a nice favoured run, although you've just got to go and win it because there'll be pressure on Hearts. They've got that 5-point gap lead now. So I'm starting to look at favouring a little bit of the Hearts. But the one thing I always do is I was asked a question at the start of the season. I went with Celtic, so I'm going to stick by my guns, but I'll be surprised if Hearts give this up now.
Would you have been the same, Killian? There was a bit of a split in the studio last night, I think. Tony Watt said if Celtic didn't win, title over. Alec Ray still felt like there was too much to play for. Could you have seen them coming back from that if they hadn't won last night?
I was saying before the Rangers game, I don't think if one of them won that game and the other lost, I don't think that was a defining match, because I think they're both of them are going to lose games between now and the end of the season anyway. It's not like previous seasons. But probably the more... Because it was a game in hand and everything, and it was a game where everyone's expecting Celtic to go and win. No, I still think the same. I still think it's probably a bit too early to rule someone out.
It's just so hard to know what Hearts' staying power is, Gordon, because there's nothing to suggest that it's not there.
Well, 20-odd weeks is plenty to suggest that they're full of confidence and they're staying there. They're there for the keeps.
I think we've got a Gary back. Gary, you were saying last night was must win and now you're turning your attentions to the Motherwell game.
Yes, can you hear me now, Gordon?
Yeah, got you, on you go.
I've always looked at the Motherwell game, even after the kind of four big away games, so Stuttgart, Ibrox, Aberdeen, then obviously Ibrox again on Sunday. I've always looked at the Motherwell game as probably,
it's not one that you can, as a home game, but even after the four away games, it's not one you're actually looking forward to, just because of the way Celtic are playing, the way Motherwell are playing. But that now becomes a must-win game after last night. I guess you could say every game's a must-win game for all teams, especially Celtic and Rangers. But I think Motherwell game now becomes massive. It becomes massive. To get back within 2 points of Hearts before they play on the Sunday just adds that wee bit of pressure on them. And it's lucky we've been the team playing catch-up. We've been the team kind of playing after Hearts and or Rangers. And next week it's going to be us playing first. So we need to then put the pressure on the other two teams. Mainly Hearts, to be honest with you, because our Hearts are obviously the favourites still to win the league. But
did the combination of the weekend and then last night, do you think Rangers are out of this?
I'm not going to say that because I don't want to give kind of
your mate's ammunition.
I don't want to give a humble pie at any point. I don't want to say that. So if we're not out to be 5 points behind, then I can't really see Rangers are out if they're 6 points behind. Because that's just me being a Celtic fan saying Rangers won't win it. So yeah, of course they can still win it. But I think they're in a better place to win it. And I think going to Ibrox on Sunday, after the last kind of run of results, Stuttgart away, Rangers away, Aberdeen away, where two wins and a draw out of the three games, where a lot of Celtic fans have been kind of not looking forward to them, given the form. I think that's quite a good return, and I wouldn't be surprised if she's going to Ibrox on Sunday and winning that. And again, that's just keeping the momentum going, because we've built this up a wee bit. Just need to keep it going, keep winning the games, doing what Celtic do towards the end of the season, coming good, and kind of showing what champions do.
That's the beauty of Sunday. The managers, I'm sure, tomorrow will probably say it's all about the cup, but everybody else is going to say that this is going to somehow have a knock-on effect in the title race. Momentum, Gary mentions, you know, if Celtic have now got the advantage in the league, the table tells you that. Let's just say it's 4-0 Rangers at the weekend, which would be unlikely, but let's say it is. Everyone will then say
momentum
that
Rangers.
Boosts Rangers title chances.
No, I don't think the weekend will have any bearing on it, Gordon.
None at all?
No, I don't, because it's completely different.
But like I said then, so even if Rangers won really comfortably at the weekend, that would not increase your belief that they could go and win the league?
No, I would still think the exact same. I think we're going to get one of the best endings of a season that we've had for many a time, because of when you look at those fixtures in the top six, there's defeats there. Nobody wants to go to Motherwell, Hibs or Falkirk. They're all difficult games. And then you've got Hearts, Celtic and Rangers still to play each other. So there'll be plenty of points dropped.
Thank you to Gary. It's a good time to call 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan is here alongside Gordon Dl, and we're asking for your latest thoughts. We ask every day at the moment on the title race, because it's taken another step last night. Celtic up to second after winning at Pittodrie. So get your thoughts over to us, please. What about Martin and Neil? This is what he made of it, speaking after the game.
The substitutions in recent weeks have made big contributions to us. So that's important for us. So our third game in 6 days. So it was tough. I knew it was going to be a tough game. Proved to be. But we saw it through in the end. But Nygren comes up big. He's doing something that is the most difficult thing in the game, to score goals. And he's popped up again, which proved to be the winning goal. Anyway, listen, it's a tough game. We saw it through, and it keeps us going. Back of the second half performance and winning tonight, I'm hoping gives us a bit of a lift going there.
Jamie's a Celtic fan. What did last night do for the title race for you, Jamie?
Obviously, it keeps us right in the mix, doesn't it? A bit scrappy, but to be honest, I think between now and the end of the season, I think most of our games are actually going to be quite scrappy. It's just the way it's been now. Just with the turmoil, everything that's happened, the team has been kind of just going through the motions, if you like, but obviously still managing to grind out wins, which is brilliant. And if that's the way it goes between now and the end of the season, then I'll take that all day long.
See, the notion of results over performances, though, is it worth bearing in mind that I don't think any of them are, no one's blowing teams away, are they? You know, so we're talking about Celtic and getting the job done. that would be surely more of a concern if one of the other teams is swashbuckling and, you know, winning games 3 and 4 now. But that's not happening either, is it?
No, I'd say Hearts have had a very good season, whereas previous years the winning team generally blows away everyone else. We've seen that in previous years, with mostly with Celtic, and it's probably the first time in a while where Celtic have had to really like grind out results near probably coming up now, obviously near the end of the season, where kind of the whole performance side of it kind of goes out the window a bit, but it does get overlooked if they're getting results. Like as a season overall for Celtic fans, I don't think it's particularly been a very enjoyable one. It starts off, I would say Martin O'Neill coming back in the first interim period and going on that good run, getting them back up to the top. But apart from that, it's probably not been, with so much going on, I can't really see it being that enjoyable.
You know, this notion that, because I'll ask Jamie in a second, but you can maybe answer first. I expected a little bit more confidence tonight from some Celtic fans to say, right, that's it, we're up to second. But when asked about how excited or whatever Jamie's getting, he said, it keeps us in the mix. Feels like that's as far as the callers are willing to go tonight.
Yeah, because I think if you're a Celtic Rangers fan now, you don't know what's going to happen the next game, especially league games. The cup will take care of itself at the weekend, of course it will, but the league games are so important now and the pressure's on. I must be the only one. I looked at that game last night and I thought second half, Celtic, okay, they weren't at brilliant best and they're not blowing Aberdeen away, but to go up there, get the result, obviously 2-1, 3 points in the bag, they didn't look like a team that was, they walked out of Pittodrie and thought, oh, we're lucky to get out there with a 2-1. I thought they deserved their victory. And I don't think these teams just now, the only team that's blowing MD away is Motherwell with the football. They're playing the style of football. But Celtic and Rangers won't blow teams away. And it's about grinding and sometimes going like Celtic, when Martin and Neil come back, getting the late winners, and it shows you the characters. You see then Rangers can go and play Hearts top of the table, and second half Rangers were absolutely brilliant and put Hearts to the sword. You see Hearts bouncing back, showing their strength, because everybody, the minute Hearts lose a game, that same gone, that's a bubble burst. And Motherwell are just plodding away there, playing some brilliant football. There'll be plenty of points dropped. I don't think Celtic, Rangers or MD will blow teams away. It's just about getting the job done. And I thought Celtic got the job done brilliantly last night at Pittodrie.
I said last night I personally was getting greedy. I just want one more game to make up your mind a bit more. And it's almost like that's what's happening. Celtic had to go to Ibrox. Let's see what happens after that. Then last night was the game in hand, so naturally, let's see what happens after that. But next up's Motherwell. That's a big game, so we'll wait and see what happens after that. Eventually, it's going to be the last week of the season. Can you imagine all three are still...
We're forgetting there's only 9 games to go. This is creeping up so quickly. And Hearts are sitting there from 22... Is it 22? I'll go 22 weeks, right? They're just ticking the games away. And all of a sudden, the games are starting to run out. So somebody needs to make a challenge very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, well, something we'll, I'm sure, get into tomorrow night as well and over the weekend. Does Sunday's cup game have any bearing whatsoever on the title race?
I think for either side it wins, it gives you that advantage to, can I say, we can beat you, if that makes sense. So you're only going to gain confidence through that. In terms of Celtic, I actually think Motherwell could be your biggest game, because we actually play them twice. So we'll play them in a few weeks, and I would imagine after the split, it would potentially be the second or last game of the season at Fir Park. So I would like to take some confidence and beating Motherwell at Parkhead, you know, and I think that's where you would get your confidence, beating the informed team.
Yeah, I think Motherwell and Hearts play twice as well. Yeah. It's the last game before the split, and then
the only thing I'll say about that, I understand exactly what Jamie's saying, but Motherwell went to Celtic, put on a good performance, and lost, right? So you think, oh, Celtic confidence, you beat Motherwell. Motherwell schooled Celtic at Fir Park. Motherwell are completely different. Motherwell have lost one goal in 11 games at Fir Park. But they're a completely
Celtic
different
fans
animal.
We'll be hoping that the Wilfred Nancy era just gets
binned
and everything else is different.
We all know the job, and I think Celtic fans appreciate the job Martin O'Neill's doing there. But I think Motherwell, believe it or not, week in, week out, they're getting better going.
Well, we'll hear from the Motherwell manager later. It'd be nice to hear from you Motherwell fans. Gary is on the other line. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks Gordon, how are you?
Absolutely nailed on to be the furthest caller of the evening. You're in New Zealand?
I am indeed, yes, Auckland, New Zealand.
I appreciate the callers no matter where they're from, but it's always nice to have people from so far off tuning in for it. Is that a sound of home? Is it some sort of guilty sound of home, pleasure, or whatever you call it?
Absolutely, yeah, I've been away for nearly 20 years.
Oh wow.
And it's always good to
where is home
to
here?
Listen to you guys on the show. Cumbernauld originally, so it's good to get out.
Oh, he's held on to that accent. It's good to get out.
Yeah.
If the Cumbernauld, the Cumbernauld Tourist Board are listening, I'm sorry. He's held on his accent magnificently.
What time's over there, Gary? Don't say the same time as us. I'm out of here.
It's
20
to 8 on Friday morning.
Jeez, he's on his morning commute. Look at us, me and you, Lanarkshire boys, who've never seen the world, amazed that there are places with other time zones.
I know, it's Friday.
In fact, did you not play in New Zealand?
He'll know the Rangers Celtic score before we get it.
You got on him for your bets at the weekend. This is why we've got Killian, he's played in every country.
He's not playing in New Zealand.
He has.
Yeah, Wellington.
Seriously?
Wellington, Phoenix, yeah.
Oh, there
he's
you go, do you know Gary?
This guy.
Anyway, I was hoping you weren't going to ask me what time it was. Yeah, no.
Gary, you're a Rangers fan though, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a Rangers fan.
Does the title race look any different from New Zealand, or is it the same?
It's still the same, but look, to be honest, I think it's wide open. Yes, Hearts have got that lead, but I'm pretty confident that they will drop points, and I think after Rangers beat Hearts a couple of weeks ago, and then the result against Celtic on Sunday, it was a draw. We had a good lead and we let it slide. But I just think that's going to be a turning point for Rangers, and I think they're going to finish strong. And I'm pretty confident that Hearts won't have the legs to just keep going and pick up full points between now and the end of the season.
Gary, why do you see Sunday past as a positive then for Rangers? Because all we've had all week is kind of the opposite of that. So it's interesting to hear you put the positive case for what happened on Sunday.
Oh, look, I just think, yes, it is. We let the second half go, but I think that might just be the kick up the backside that they need. And I think from that, they'll got together, they'll regroup, and then they know that they can't afford to do that again, so they're just going to push on.
Well, I was going to ask you, Gary, I listened to you saying, look, you think Hearts have got to drop points, and I probably agree with you, right? But I think Celtic and Rangers will drop points as well. I don't look at Celtic and Rangers now as teams in the past that could easily go from now to the end of the season without losing a game, either of them. I don't think they've got that good a team. I don't think they're that strong. So as much as I do agree, and that's why I said the top six has got to be brilliant, because I think a lot of points will be dropped. And it'll be interesting to see. But everybody's in the same opinion, and I've done it for weeks upon weeks, going, right, Hearts will drop points, and then the bubble will burst, the pressure will get to them. We're now 9 games to go, and they're still sitting top of the league with 5 points a gap, and they've got a good favoured run if you look at their fixtures between now and the split. So they're in a good position, Hearts, you've got to say. And they're starting to get one or two of their big hitters back for the big games.
What makes you sure they'll tail off, Gary?
Oh, I just think, as Gordon said there, they've got a couple of the big hitters coming back, but it's going to take them a bit to get up to speed. And so they're not going to come back and hit the ground running. But I just got this feeling that after the start of the season, start to the season that we had, I just feel that we can go on and we can get this. Like at the start of the season, we wouldn't have thought we'd have been in the top six, to be honest with you. But I just get this feeling that we're just going to push on and actually take it off Hearts.
I'm hesitant to state the obvious and act like it's something really profound that only I've thought of, Killian, but because we're not used to the three-way nature of it, we're talking about Rangers being 6 points behind. Here's the state and the obvious, but being 6 points behind from third is different to second, though. You know, you don't. We get fixated on the points total, and maybe I used this example with Motherwell a few weeks ago. The points total is one thing, but then there are other teams, and you need to outshoot both of them by X amount. And I just wonder what part that plays. I wonder how much harder it is, because I don't know. I don't know how you quantify that.
I think both clubs, and probably Motherwell as well, they'll all be thinking, I would imagine the managers there will be saying, just only focus on ourselves. There's mm-hmm. no point looking at other teams above you, how other teams are going to do. And then I agree this, hard to, obviously, they will drop some points between now and the end of the season, but I don't really see it being as many as we keep thinking that they are going to. Because we've kind of said it all season, and they haven't really, apart from that little blip when Martin O'Neill first came back, other than that, they've actually held out pretty well and got through tough stages when they lost players. They're getting those players back. They'll be doing everything they can to have them up to speeds or as near to full match fitness when they do come back. I think Derek McInnes will know how important they are and how big of a difference they can make. So I think it's more on Celtic and Rangers to not, they can't afford to gamble on Hearts dropping X amount of points. I think they just need to focus on literally winning every game between now and the end of the season.
Thank you very much to Gary, easily the furthest flung caller we'll have of the evening, I would imagine. That was Gary over in New Zealand. We appreciate your time. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Right, every Friday we give you the chance to win an unbelievable amount of money. Tomorrow it's well over £500,000, £550,000 to be exact. It's transferred into your bank account tomorrow evening. You don't even need to wait. I'm sure you would be willing to wait if you had to, but you don't. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow, so don't miss out. Don't just hang around and then kick yourself that you didn't get in time. 5 p.m. tomorrow. All you need to do is answer your phone and you win the lot. It is that simple. So good luck from us. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So let's get stuck straight back in with Billy, who's on the line. How are you, Billy?
Very good. Thanks for taking my call. Good evening.
What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is, it looks like a four-team title race. Mm-hmm. I mean, my first point is, I don't think Motherwell have got a chance to win the league, but I think they'll be the kingmakers. So whoever does best against Motherwell, I think will win the league. But my second point is, going back to last night's game, it should be a footballing team that wins the league. You shouldn't be getting points by VAR decisions. So, I mean, I don't know when this VAR is going to either be scrapped or brought up to scratch, because Benjamin Negrin last night was a mile offside.
Was he?
Well, it certainly looked like it for the pictures that I've seen on X-Day.
Is that not sort of the... That's kind of the point, though, of why the technology was brought in, isn't it? Because, by the way, I agree with you. As soon as I see it, and you think, well, that looks off. But if it was that easy, you just wouldn't pay for the technology. They would just ask you what you thought of your image on X. Is that not kind of what the technology is supposed to do? Because if the camera's not in line, that's the bit that's supposed to figure out who's where. Does that make sense?
It certainly makes sense, yeah. But, I mean, there's a few places you can go to that the cameras really aren't that great. And maybe look on, I mean, when it's...
No, but that...
Completely off.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not about what it looks like on the camera, which I think is one of the frustrations of our, don't get me wrong, because we're then all watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. But to sort of repeat an earlier point, if it was just about what does it look like, then you wouldn't have VAR. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't do the technology. You would just pause the telly and
run
say...
Run round the side of the telly and look at the line.
Like... What do you think?
I thought he was a mile off as well.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but, I think everybody did.
But that's the point.
Because, still images prove that.
Because the camera is not in line. So yeah. You actually can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave it to the technology to...
Technology of VAR, yeah. I think with the naked eye, everybody's going, oh, he's offside. Right, we all did. Mm-hmm. We had a look at it. But obviously then when the referee, when VAR gave the decision, your technology is obviously there to make those decisions. You're right, Gordon. We pay a lot of money for VAR. Look, I think VAR's sometimes absolutely hopeless, but that's the one you're hoping they get right. So you've got to stand by that.
It's very, I think this is what I'm noticing, Killian, though, is there's clearly an issue there with people getting their heads around it. That's not meant to be an insult to Billy or anybody else, because they're the fans. Like, so is it just not quite cutting through? I don't mean to be patronising when I keep saying it, but what you think it looks like on the TV is irrelevant. What I think it looks like on the TV is irrelevant.
Yeah,
but even years into VAR, we're not quite getting that. I don't think, or we're, I don't know. Maybe it's similar.
It's similar to if you're watching a game and someone takes a shot and you think, oh, that looked really close. Then you see it from another angle and like, actually, no, it wasn't. But like last night, when you see it in the first angle and in play, you're thinking, oh, yeah, it is offside. Mm-hmm. But then when you actually see one of the angles where you can see why they've made that decision, like, oh, well, no, now I can clearly see it is onside.
To maybe clear up, just again, this is out there. This information's should have been known before. But again, maybe it's not been explained enough. Peter Leaven then even as well, because the clubs should know this. But Peter Leaven says, why is there only one line drawn? And people have jumped on that, haven't they, and gone, oh, that must mean there's something untoward, there's only one line. There isn't one line, but the lines are touching. So it means it's close, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if the lines are touching, what does everybody say? I just wish the benefit would...
go to the attack.
Which is what's happened.
Yeah.
So we all want that until it doesn't suit your team. So what's happened last night is that it is close. So those two lines are touching, right? Once that happens... it only shows you that one line.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit goes to the onside decision. Does that make sense? You're looking at me a bit blank.
No, it does make sense. But listen.
So as an example, let's say Benjamin Negrin is a good bit further forward. You draw the line off him, you draw the line off the defender, and there is a gap. There is a gap between... this is where it's good to watch the live stream.
Yeah,
I
love it.
This on radio.
By the way, let everybody... it's just a wee gap. It's not a big gap.
So if you've got the line... let's say Negrin is a much further forward. You've got the line off Negrin, you've got the line off the defender, and there is a gap. And that is when the Hawkeye technology, not somebody watching their telly, mm-hmm. that's when Hawkeye technology says, offside. Side. Once those lines touch... so once it's close, once those lines touch, the benefit goes to the attacker. Which that's what's happened last night. So it's not that they've only... it's easy to get excited and people, oh, this is great. They've decided to just draw one line. There isn't one line. There was two. They would have been touching, and then that just becomes the line that you see.
You can tell football this man's never, taking a course on
football. Football should never be like this, though. I get that point as well.
The other thing, I think Peter Leaven's in a position where he needs to say whatever he can to kind of like find excuses for us, but... from the start, I've kind of always said it, that the VAR here is, you can kind of see that they've taken the cheapest route in terms of implementing it and the cameras involved in doing it.
See, even on that, broadly speaking, there might be a bit in that, but I actually don't think that stands up to scrutiny for last night. So you're right, worldwide, you can use IFAB, FIFA have decided, you can use VAR with four cameras, right? It's the minimum mm-hmm. that you need. The more cameras you have, the more expensive it is. We've got six as a minimum. So if you go to Motherwell Dundee United at the weekend, it's not on TV, you've got six. You've got six cameras, right? Last night was live in Sky. There was 13 cameras on that last night, including a goal line camera, which you don't get. It's only Sky games that have got a goal line camera. So last night was pretty well equipped. You can be onto something. Seeing a normal game...
The Champions League one is... the best one. It's done instantly. You can see it. Listen, when they do all that.
There's the semi-automated offsides, which is fine. But this notion of like the kind of cheap number of cameras. There was 13 cameras on that last night. So if there was a time to use that as one of the concerns, and I think there is, I don't think last night was it.
I think he's onside anyway. From
well, But yeah, I mean, it certainly seems
it shows
that way.
It. But also, but
before,
I think what,
before
I think
the
what
lines were drawn.
I think what highlights it is, or what backs it up is, see when Negrin's making the run, he hesitates a bit. Mm-hmm. Because I think he thinks James Forrest is going to play it first time. He sees him take a touch and then he kind of stalls his run. So I think he knows the defender and the line that he's looking at.
Yeah. I'm totally on board with what Gordon's saying, and obviously the evidence there, 13 cameras and whatever the technology was there. I totally understand the supporter, because I looked at that last night and right away I went, oh, he's offside.
No, but listen, so did I. Yeah. Right. I want to make that clear. So did I. But surely we've all, and this is the problem, because
got to trust in the...
No, let's be honest. This is all because it's Celtic or it's Rangers, there's a title. I don't care if it's Brechin, St Mirren, whatever. You've got to start thinking what I think an offside looks like on the TV is irrelevant, because it did we not do the same? Did Stuttgart get a goal ruled out against Celtic? Remember last week we sat in here and watched it and we thought that looks offside.
Oh yeah,
that looked onside. Sorry.
Yeah, Stuttgart. Yeah,
you can't tell from watching the telly.
I think it was the fourth.
That's kind of the point
at the time.
But there's also an angle that shows him onside. No,
from what, to your naked eye? You mean?
Yeah. So like when they're showing the lines and stuff.
No, when they show the lines, I think he's talking about.
Like, is there not also? Did I not see an angle as well where you can see that he's onside?
Last week, Stuttgart.
No, sorry, Negrin last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is onside.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No.
You're
trying to convince
yourself.
No, what I'm saying is the angle that everyone's talking about, where you're saying he looks offside, mm-hmm. but there's also mm-hmm. one showing just that
looks
he's clearly onside.
But, see, to be honest, that angle doesn't matter either. Then I can't be a hypocrite both ways.
No. What I'm saying is,
just
you can
take
use
the lines from the groundsman cutting the pitch. Like
whatever angle you want to support your argument, you can just use that one.
That's I think it is one of the fabric of the show, is to like argue over refereeing decisions, and it should never change. And I love it. Is that a penalty? Is it not? Is it a red card? Is it not? I do think, and the title race is exciting, and I know it's getting tense for everybody. To a few people out there who've sent me messages, see if you've got a ruler out and held it up against your TV at any point. It might be time let's all take a step back. Let's try and enjoy this. If you reach for the ruler and you approach your telly,
it's time. Go and
take
a walk
and
get some fresh air.
Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here, looking back on last night's game at Pittodrie, wondering where that leaves things in the title race. Going to hear from Jens Bertolascu, so it might be good for you Motherwell fans to jump in on your thoughts, because this weekend's all about you in the league. Can you win that game in hand? Can you put the pressure on? Can you put the squeeze from below? Give us your thoughts and we will speak to you after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And can I just tell you, to throw ahead slightly, obviously every night this week we've been giving away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. What we are going to ask you to do as part of that competition tonight might be a genuine low point, not only in the history of this show, but in the history of radio broadcasting anywhere. I actually can't believe what I've just seen on this sheet.
I know.
As to how you need to win the tickets tonight.
I nearly fell off my chair when I read it. Usually it's the worst joke in the world that I'm embarrassed reading out. But this is a new low.
I don't know if I'm ready for it, but we'll try it a bit later on in the show. Let's play Beat the Pundit first with Callum in Rob Royston. How are you, Callum?
Yeah.
Not bad. Have you ever played this before?
Yeah, I've played a few weeks back. I think it may have been Gordon Dalziel's played it.
Nice, get on every twice in a couple of weeks. You think it might have been Gordon Dalziel?
I think it was. Give me a bit of doing it, just
here, so. Oh, couldn't have been me, mate. I think you've got somebody mixed up here.
I like that though. That's shattered your confidence here. You think that it's the highlight of people's life, talking to you, taking you on to Beat the Pundit. You can't even remember if it was you that he played.
No, what shattered me is I think that's a double bluff from him.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he's been studying.
Right, okay, let's toss the coin. If it's the blue, some of these questions tonight, don't like them.
No.
Difficult. Blue side for Killian Sheridan, red side for Gordon Dalziel. And it is blue for Killian. He's not bad at this.
He doesn't like it. Look at his face.
He's a tough tonight as well.
Are they?
Yeah,
oh,
they are.
Don't worry, I'll help you. Watch
right. Let's give Killian something else to listen to. You, Callum, have got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Rangers player's out on loan at Argentinian club Huracan?
Pass.
How many league goals has Negrin scored for Celtic this season?
Nine.
How many?
12.
At which stadium do Hamilton Accies play their home games?
Broadwood.
Name any Scottish Championship club left in the Scottish Cup.
Eastside.
Which former Scotland player had a statue of them unveiled in Craig Newcombe Saturday?
Pass.
Who did Real Madrid beat in the Champions League final at Hampden 2002?
Number one.
Okay, let's bring back Killian. Can you hear us? I think they're tough tonight.
Easy.
No chance.
Easy.
Not having it.
They're
ready?
Easy.
30 seconds.
He'll scooch us.
Turn off his mic. He distracts people. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Rangers player's currently on loan at Argentinian club Huracan?
Pass.
How many league goals has Negrin scored this season?
16.
At which stadium do Hamilton Accies play their home games?
Clyde.
Name any Scottish Championship club left in the Scottish Cup.
Dunfermline.
Which former Scotland player had a statue of them unveiled in Craig Nuke on Saturday?
Pass.
Who did Real Madrid beat in the Champions League final at Hampden in 2002?
Bayer Leverkusen.
Are there more Irish or Northern Irish players in the Scottish Premiership?
Irish.
Okay. Callum, what are you thinking?
Can I say Clyde, mate?
Nah,
will you be quiet?
I'm only getting involved.
I'm trying to speak to Callum and you're
sorry, Callum.
Wittering away. Sorry, Callum. How do you think it went?
I don't think I've done that great. I think you've done well.
First question. I thought Callum, maybe as a Rangers fan, would have got the first one. No offence. I think if you're not a Rangers fan, you're not getting that.
Argentinian I have no idea.
It's Oscar Cortez. Remember him?
Yeah, left winger.
Yes. Apparently scored on Tuesday. Who knew? Mm-hmm. So it's 0-0. You are one out. Negrin has
15.
Got 15 goals in the league this season. Second to Tawanda Maswanisi. So it's 0-0. At which stadium do Hamilton Accies play their home games?
Can I give them Clyde?
I feel like I famously can't give you Clyde because it's not their home stadium now, is it? It's Hamilton Accies.
Broadwood.
Do you know what I mean?
You must have played there with Brecon.
We're a stickler for the rules on here. So it's 1-0 to Callum.
Clyde?
What?
The Dinklide?
Clyde either. I'm a Clyde.
1-0 to Callum on the line. However, the Scottish Championship clubs left are Dunfermline and Partick Thistle. So that's an equaliser for Killian Sheridan. Maybe just to try and throw you off, he's described as a Scotland player, which is accurate, but obviously the clue would have been which former Celtic player, Craig Newkes, your neck of the woods. Did you miss this?
Yeah.
Tommy Gemmell, statue opened in Craig Newkes.
I thought Tommy Gemmell was Belsil or Ruddingston.
Well, that's where his statue is. So there you go.
Right, okay.
Who did Real Madrid beat in the Champions League final at Hampden in 2002? Are you a young man, Callum?
No,
I thought you would remember this. You're a bit
Zidane.
Older than us. It is Bayer Leverkusen, not Inter Milan. Zidane. So Killian Sheridan takes the lead. And I don't know if local knowledge counts on this or if it was a guess, but there are more Irish than Northern Irish players in the Premiership. 12-6. It's another win for the big man. Composed.
Hold on this league.
Callum's just easy, isn't he?
I thought they were tough. Honestly did.
I think him and Simon Donnelly have got extra time.
Is Sid stuck in,
I don't know, Sid
the Middle East or something?
I'm worried about Sid.
Don't crack any jokes on a very serious topic, obviously.
No, I'm worried about the wee guy.
I think he is.
Is he stuck out there, is he?
I think he might be.
Oh.
Not seen or heard from him in quite some time. But anyway, Callum, who's your team? You're a Rangers fan?
Yeah, Rangers fan. Yeah.
Right, now that everybody's played their same number of games, how do you feel? Because it's always that kind of up in the air a bit until they have.
I still think it is up in the air, but I would imagine Hearts would probably want to win it. Just really good. They're in a good position. If they're going to, it'd be a good thing for them to be fair for the league rather than always being rooted in Celtic. You can feel it. I mean, just fans like this.
Very magnanimous of you. Did Sunday kind of seal that for you then? Do you think that was that the day that swung it?
A little bit. I think it gave one of the teams a chance to get being on Hearts and that 2 points, just dropping it for both teams wasn't great, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Hearts would have been licking their lips at the weekend. Last night they would have been hoping for an Aberdeen equaliser or something late on. What does Sunday mean to you in the midst of this title race, Callum? Because don't get me wrong, when the game kicks off, it will be seen as the most important event anywhere in the world. That's just the way it works. But like, is it feel a bit strange, this one, with so much on the line, but most focus seems to be on the title race?
I just don't see Hearts dropping that many points now anyway. So I think it's not as they're focusing on the Scottish Cup today for them, hopefully getting certain.
It's a good point, because whoever wins on Sunday are certainly got to be odds on favourites to lift the Scottish Cup, isn't they? When you look at it, and no disrespect to our teams, but don't get me wrong, we've seen St Mirren upset that with a win against Celtic in the League Cup, but I think whoever wins that game on Sunday certainly got to be odds on to go and lift the Scottish Cup in May.
Again then, if we make everything about the title race, Hearts just get the extra rest. I mean, they couldn't go to their more serious events in the world, the warm weather training Dubai get cancelled, but again, you never know. It's that sort of fun stuff you can't measure. Does that benefit them? Does that give them that? Because especially Celtic at the moment, having gone Stuttgart, Hibs, Stuttgart, Rangers, Aberdeen, Rangers, that's quite a schedule.
Yeah, it's probably a weekend where, depending how far along like Shankland and Devlin are, it's a chance for possibly, I don't know if they'll take the rest, or they might arrange something where they can have a bounce game or something and they can guess some sort of game minutes into their legs. There's that advantage of it as well. But probably just good for them to get a rest, a break from the whole hustle and bustle of being in a title race. I think Sunday is big towards the league.
Yeah,
I think it gives one of them, I think it changes the mood completely on whoever. If one comes out on top, I think it changes the mood massively for them for the next, well, until the next game. And especially if that's for Celtic going into the Motherwell game, I think that'll be massive.
Can the manner of that win or defeat enhance that either way?
No, I don't think so. I just think it's result. And I actually fancy Celtic for the Motherwell game. I think all this talk, and they deserve it, they have been the best footballing team. I think if you're at Celtic and the Rangers player as well, and if you're hearing everyone talk so highly and say this Motherwell team is the best team head and shoulders above everyone in Scotland, I think it's a chance for them to go and put a performance in against them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I slightly disagree about, I know that you're wanting to win the quarter final the weekend against your biggest rivals, of course you do, but I just think that, put it this way, if Celtic had to lose it, then I think that extra to go and, you're going maybe a season without winning a trophy, Celtic aren't used to that, might give them that more determination going forward. All eggs in the one basket, the league.
That's the other jeopardy attached to this. If we're all saying Hearts are favourites, which I think we know well at the moment, what could be on the line this weekend for the loser is a trophyless season then.
Because
Obviously St Mirren have already got that one in the bag.
Yeah.
If we think Hearts are certainly in the driving seat there.
Yeah.
That is that what the loser is potentially staring
and
at?
And that's why I think that will give you such a, you know, that feeling to say, right, okay, we're going to finish in May here after all this work. We're not going to win a trophy, especially for Celtic. That's not really heard of. So as much as, yes, I think both sets of fans want to win it because they'll see their sellers going on and probably great opportunity to lift the Scottish Cup in May. But I just wouldn't put everything down to, well, it gives the other team the momentum to go and finish higher up in the league and win the league, because I think there's a lot of difficult and important games coming up.
Oh, so much drama to come over the weekend. It's quite something when they play in such quick succession. I'm sure it'll be interesting tomorrow when we hear from Martin O'Neill, Danny Rule. They're both doing their press tomorrow and they'll have their say on what lies ahead there. On the point we made to Killeen, are we overanalysing everything, or could we be in a scenario where that extra rest at the moment for Hearts somehow benefits them, or is there too much to happen after that?
No, I think every little bit of help,
because they would like, sorry, they would want to be in the cup. You know, I don't like it when we polish it up too much and I mean, they're not. They would have had designs on trying to go far in that.
But. Yeah, but if they win the league, they're not interested in that cup at all. I think what it does for Derek is it just gives them time to settle everybody down. Unfortunately, they couldn't go to their training base this week and get a bit of sunshine and just relax. But what it does is see the amount of games and it's taking. They might have one or two wee niggles round the squad. Just gives it a time to take everything back, reset, and sort of recharge the batteries, ready to go for the next nine games. As we say, and Hearts fans will tell you, nine cup finals, isn't it? Mm. So I think it's a good thing for Derek and Hearts to get a wee bit
of Hearts go, if Hearts go and win their next game,
it's a good rest.
It's a good rest. Yeah. If they lose it, then they're it's rusty. Like, oh, it's disrupted their momentum.
Oh, I can't win. Anyway, thank you very much to Callum. Another good win for Killian on Beat the Pundit. Just to mark your card about something, it's not often we nod to other sports, but this is important. This Saturday, Scottish Gas Murrayfield, Scotland take on France in the Guinness Men's Six Nations. Gordon DL even became a convert this season, went along to the Warriors, didn't you?
Brilliant.
Why not treat yourself? Turnstiles are open 3 hours before the game. You can get in early, soak up the buzz. There's plenty happening. Live music, big screen action, player queues, Q&As, interactive fan stalls, all that sort of stuff. And a lot to eat and drink in the surrounding area. So you could make a brilliant day even better by booking at murrayfieldexperience.com. And if you tune in to Grant Thompson's show tomorrow between 10 and 2, there's the chance to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's game, plus hospitality in Terrace 2022, which is described here as a champagne and seafood bar within the stadium grounds, which means it's too sophisticated for you,
yeah,
but loads of our listeners could get involved. So we'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. Told us a wonderful story during the break there. Maybe we'll repeat it at the live show at the Pavilion. The things that you're not allowed to say.
It's definitely one.
Just
for
wonderful. 0141 951 1025. We're getting closer to giving these comedy tickets away.
I can't wait.
I've just looked down at the information on it as well, and oh my goodness, this could be the end. This could be the end of this long, proud show.
Oh, this will definitely be the end.
Let's distract ourselves first, though, come with on this teaser.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with
Oh, wrong music. They got excited because I was talking about the comedy. Well. See? Oh.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Good question, this from Roddy in Killearn. Thank you for sending it in. I think it's verging on easy for two men of your intellectual capacity. So after Yang got his 100th appearance for Celtic last night, can you name the eight players with the most Celtic appearances who've also played for a country outside of Europe? So after Yang got his 100th appearance for Celtic last night, can you name the eight Celtic players with the most appearances who've also represented a non-European country? And obviously it's a football question. We mean like UEFA's definition of Europe. All right?
I'm struggling right away.
No! That's because your geography is horrific. This man's played all around the globe. He'll sort
right,
out.
So the most appearances for Celtic that was played in Europe. Yeah?
No.
What was the question?
Literally the opposite. Outside of Europe.
Oh, outside of
so
Europe.
So they represent a country.
Right, so Maeda, for instance.
Yes, thank you. Right. 200th appearance it was for him, wasn't it?
Well, Hatate, we're throwing the man.
Right, so Maeda.
Hatate.
Uh-huh, and?
Who's the other one?
There's loads.
But no. We're talking a lot of appearances, though.
Yeah. Scott McDonald?
Nope.
Ooh.
He has 127 Celtic appearances.
Viduka?
No.
Who's it? Right?
Rogic?
No. Yes, guaranteed.
Yes.
It must be.
Okay, let's leave that there for now. Let's bring in Liam, who's on the line. Hi, Liam.
Hi, Kyogo.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Not bad, Liam. What's your thoughts tonight? What are you thinking?
I've got a couple of points. I've got a point and more of a request for you, really. But my point, first of all, is about Benjamin Negrim. Mm-hmm. If Celtic go on and win the league and the cup, and he gets, yeah, another five or six goals, he has to win Player of the Year, doesn't he?
Oh, no.
And tell us what you really think.
No, Liam, well, come on.
If he scores, say, 25 goals and gets, say, 10 assists and picks up the cup and the league, why wouldn't he win the Player of the Year?
Look, I think what you would say that he had a brilliant season for Celtic, but week in, week out, performances, I'm sorry, he doesn't get my vote for Player of the Year, not in a million years.
So who's scored more goals than him right now?
Yeah, listen, I know what you're saying for a midfield player, and he's playing with Celtic, and he, as Killian said, he probably should score more the amount of chances he's getting, but you can, okay, you're going to argue that Masuenisi is a centre-forward, but overall play in the positions, it does, well, put it this way, see if a centre-half has been, a goalkeeper, for instance, absolutely brilliant, you know, you can't just go, well, Negan has scored more goals, so give it to him. Mm-hmm. A centre-half's been brilliant. You look at you look at players from Motherwell and Hearts this season, they've been absolutely sensational. Negrin, there's even talk that he might not even get a start on Sunday.
Is there?
Yeah, one or two people.
No,
maybe
I'm not sure about that. Well, you've made that up.
No, he come off. he come off the bench last night, right? And he scored.
And he won us the game.
He come off the bench last week, right? So he's been used as a sub a few times.
No, come on. He starts Celtic's big games at the moment.
Yeah, but he's been... whether he starts or not, mm-hmm. I am not giving him Player of the Year. There's absolutely no chance. And plus the fact, my bet will be safe because Celtic won't win the double.
Killian, would Benjamin Negrin be your Player of the Year?
He'll be Celtic's Player of the Year. Okay. I don't know about Player of the Year overall. I think if he was to finish with 20, 25 goals from midfield, albeit attacking midfield, I think he probably deserves to be in the conversation.
Do you think he'd been the four then? That, you know, you get the top four, don't you, whittle down to?
I think he deserves to be, just given he's currently doing the hardest thing to do in football is score goals. If he'd went and had brilliant games and he's putting in brilliant performances, but then at the end of it, people would have the arguments, where's his end product? There's no goals or assists to go with it. It's like...
It is a bit of everything though, isn't it, Liam? Because it's just what your gut tells you. Well, not what your gut tells us. What your gut tells the players who vote for it. Has he been the best player in the country this season? I know... So take that question in its purest form. Do you think the answer to that is yes? Do you think Benjamin Negrin's been the best player in Scottish Premiership this season?
Well, no, I don't. However, the only reason I was saying that he would have to win it is if he got both the medals and 25 goals.
But the medals thing's not really going to be applicable because the votes will be in well before that. Well before we find out.
When do they go in?
It's actually quite telling. It's about sometime in April, I think. My learned colleague Fraser Wishart could tell us. But we'll put it this way: it's certainly before, because the Scottish Cup finals. Second last weekend in May or whatever, and the league concludes.
It's done way too early. So
that
every year,
but even at that, there's no other way, is there? You can't wait till after the cup final to pick your.
No, I know. And also the two big awards is the sports writers as well. And I'd be surprised if the sports writers gave Negrin the.
We'll debate this more in the weeks to come. I actually think the thing about it being too early, I think, is more applicable to the managers, because you're going to need to give. Derek McInnes might. He might win the league, and if that's the case, one of the managers of the decade, Jens Bertelaar, whatever, that's, I think, harder than the player. I think by March or April, by April, you've got a grasp on who's been the best player in the country.
Yeah, look, I think you make a great point. He'll certainly be Celtic.
All right, Jinky makes the top four in the league.
If he goes on to do what Liam says...
No, just now.
Just now, no.
Who's the top four then?
I would probably look down the leagues and look at Hearts of leaders. Mm-hmm. I think, you can argue that. And I think Devlin's been sensational. I think.
Injured at the wrong time.
Yeah, I think two centre halves were really good for Hearts. You look at Motherwell, just for me, has been magnificent week in, week out. Right? I know that he doesn't score the goals that Liam's talking about, but he's playing with Motherwell.
I don't predict things the way you guys do, but since it's close to my heart, I would be amazed if Just doesn't make the top four.
I think he'll make the top two the way the boy's going about his business. He's been brilliant.
And if we're talking about Nugent's numbers, Masvanisi will be in there.
Yeah, as a centre forward.
Braga, Kizaridis.
And there's another few that, and deservedly so, that's the reason, a big reason Hearts are top of the league. Then you look down and you could even, now remember it's the players that pick this, so they play against the players that many times, four times in the season, or well, and then obviously splitting everything gets involved in it. But you look at Falkirk.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Miller for Falkirk,
brilliant.
Brad Spencer, they've got good players, you know what I mean? So I think you look at the overall situation of what a player of the year is going to be, but I think the lad just at Motherwell, I'll be very surprised right now if he's not the front runner.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he's I think guaranteed to be top four, surely. And generally it is, I find it is players in those kind of positions, players that tend to almost like kind of run games, are the players that get the other players' attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you come off game, you're thinking, when you actually sit down and think, right, who's really good in games or whatever, it generally is players who dictate a game that you notice more from playing against.
This is completely anecdotal. This is not meant to contribute to the conversation necessarily, but obviously doing this job, go out and interview a lot of players, or you know, speak to managers or players, and maybe the mic's off and you're chatting away, and most of them know where my allegiances lie. See the number of people this season who've gone, who's that Elijah Just? The constant. I feel like, as Killian says, you think he's the type of player that every other player and every other manager notices.
Yeah, and the reason being, he's such a talent, Gordon. He's been absolutely brilliant for Motherwell, and he plays most of the weeks. His work rate's incredible. Everything he does, I would say right now.
What about Masvanisi though? Then, if he's he's the top scorer in the league at the moment.
Yeah, but the argument against Masvanisi might be, oh well, he's playing centre forward, but obviously he played off the wing as well. But he's another one that's had a great season. He'll be in the running as well for me. But I just look at this lad just, and I just think he just stands head and shoulders above MD just now in his form. Now, I'm quite happy for Liam to put his neb in about who he thinks, because other people will be probably sitting listening to this and shouting, well, what about Hart, Falkirk, what about somebody? You know, somebody will have their favourites. But just in evidence, week in, week out, I think the lad just has been sensational.
We'll find out.
Braga will be in with a shout as well.
Braga and Kizaridis, I think, would be the Hearts ones, because you're right about Devlin, but it's just that injury and the timing. But
I think Braga certainly will be in there. Certainly be in there.
Anyway, listen, it's a staple of this show. We debate it a lot during the spring months. Liam, if we move the question just slightly, just purely on a Celtic basis, how important is he to you at the moment, Benjamin Negan?
Without him, I genuinely don't know where we'd be. I mean, you look at the last two games, he created Kieran Tierney's goal and scored the winner last night off the bench. You know, like, there's two huge goals in the last two games that he's contributed to, and he always seems to score goals that matter. You know, a lot of his goals are winners or part of a winning. You know, he scored two against Aberdeen back in the start of the season. You know, we only won 2-0. Without him, well, we're definitely not in the top three. We'd probably sit in, we're definitely below Motherwell. He is the only signing this season for me that's been brilliant. You know, 1.5 million and he's got 19, 20 goals. It's a fantastic bit of business. And it's the only bit of business that we've done for I don't know how long that's been really, really good, you know.
It's actually a good point. I don't know how you can't always measure this stuff, but as a winner last night, I remember working at, I think, one of the, not injustices, but one of the biggest examples of Celtic winning a game that they maybe didn't deserve to win was Falkirk away. Remember, it was 1-0, the midweek game. He scored the winner that night. The last time that when Motherwell went there, he's the one that got the equaliser, capitalised on the mistake from the goalie. So it's not just the total as well. It feels like he has...
Oh, he stepped up when Celtic have really needed him. There's no doubt. Listen, I'm not arguing with Liam saying that, you know, he shouldn't be in the... He's quite entitled to say he should be in the running. But I just think if you look at overall this season, I think there have been players that have contributed a bit more.
Okay, well, we'll find out. I love that. See, when we get to the kind of April time and we debate all this stuff about who it's going to be. I've got nothing against Benjamin Negrin or Celtic or Liam. I just feel like this must be the closest we're ever going to get to no Celtic or Rangers player been in the top four. Negan, it's hard to imagine anyone else.
I don't know why this comes into my head when I think of Negan over the last few weeks, right? You know the clip of the Australian guy getting arrested? And he's like, what's the charge? Ordering a Chinese?
Yes.
Don't ask how I think, why I'm thinking this way. But when I think of Negan, I think of him like, what's the charge? Scoring 20 goals a season. Like, it's almost like he's getting dug out.
As if that's a
for actually having like a good goal scoring, like a succulent good Chinese goal scoring meal. Record.
That guy.
Yeah.
Gordon Dale's got no idea what you're talking about.
I haven't.
But loads of our listeners will. I think that's an insight into the way Killian Sheridan's mind works. I'll show you that clip after
right,
the show.
Right, okay. I know what you mean. I haven't a clue.
It's a roundabout way of saying it's like the accusation of Negan is all he does is score, as if that's yeah. some sort of.
That's like.
Yeah.
That's his bad trait. Scoring.
Sorry, mate. That's all you do. Okay. Thank you to Liam on the line. What about the other line? We've got Russell who's on. Hi, Russell.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good, Russell. What are you thinking tonight?
Guys, I think I'm surprised you haven't spoke more about Celtic's goal last night and how it was maybe the worst offside decision I've ever seen in my life.
Whoa, was it? The guy did call earlier, I think, about it.
I must have missed that, Gordon. But honestly, see, when you watch it live, right, it's offside. When I watched it back, it's offside. And then when they draw the line up, right, the line's at an angle. It's after the ball's been played, and there's only one line, no two lines. How they've called that as onside, I don't know. I honestly think it's the worst offside decision I've ever seen. And don't get me wrong, Aberdeen deserved nothing last night, but I thought that was a howler. I'm surprised no more people have been speaking about it today.
No, I think a guy did phone earlier, so and you missed it, so you'd have heard the response. A couple of things. The lines aren't, I mean, this is like Hawkeye stuff, so the lines aren't at an angle. Do you know what I mean? You don't, like, you can't change the angle of the line. Does that make sense?
I think it still comes down to human error, because it's not like the machine's drawing the line and then it's like, yep,
no,
it's an aerial view, definitely
I get that. No, but that's the point. But that's why you sort of invest in the technology, because the camera's never going to be. Even in England, right, even with whatever, the camera's never always going to be exactly in line. But what I'm saying is, you're right, there's clearly human input in terms of identifying the kick point and all that stuff. But from that point, the lines are then straight across the pitch, yeah? So all the broadcast cameras are calibrated before the game. That's the bit that sort of Hawkeye do. You know, this is not the referees or the SFA or Willie Collum or whatever. So the line, you can't change the angle of the line. Does that make sense? The human doesn't dictate the angle of the line.
I'm still not having it going. It's offside. But anyway, I just sound. But I thought I wanted to phone you about the night was, I think Hearts will win the league. And I've phoned you a couple of times about this, even as an Aberdeen fan. But I think he's forgetting one thing. The pressure's on the Old Firm. See last night, see if we had the corners in the last couple of minutes. Wee Cameron was firing them in. See if Celtic lose a goal in that last minute. The pressure's on them. Whereas Hearts can lose two games and still be top of the league. So I actually think Hearts will win the league with two games to spare, because Celtic Rangers are going to drop points, Hearts will drop points, yes. But I think I've had a look at the post-split fixtures and how they're going to do them. I think the Rangers-Celtic game will be the second game after the split. If that's another draw like it was last week, I think Hearts could be sitting with the league title won with two games to go.
Now that would be something. I'm looking forward to the psychological analysis as well, because Russell's introduced one aspect of it, which is the pressure's all on the other two, which I get, but somebody's going to hit back and say, how about the pressure's on Hearts because they've never led from the front or whatever.
I think the pressure's on three of them.
Different types though. Yeah,
different types, yeah. I'd much rather be sitting than now having Hearts pressure, if I'm quite honest with you. I do think they've got a good run in up until the split. I just think that the split will be that good that teams will drop points. No team will go undefeated now at the end of the season. So I think Hearts are sitting in a pretty good situation just now. I was one that kept waiting for them for a bubble to burst, as everybody said. And then when they got a bad result, you're thinking, right, this is it, the following week. But they're still sitting there 5 points ahead and they're sitting in first place, so they're doing all right.
We're really getting ahead of ourselves, but Is there a scenario, Killian, where Hearts don't win this league? It might not feel like it, but can they still come out with a lot of credit? Do you know what I mean? If Rangers and Celtic don't win the league, it's seen as like a disaster. If Hearts got enough goodwill in the tank that as long as they come close from here, do you Do you see what I mean? Like, say they were pipped, I don't know, pipped in goal difference in the last day. That's not like a humiliation. You know, you can't accuse the bottling it or whatever the phrases will be.
Yeah, I think that's what Russell was getting at, that they probably can afford to lose games.
Yeah.
And they don't have that pressure that Celtic and Rangers have every year, and they'll have until the season is decided. I think, at what point do Hearts actually become the clear favourites? And then they'll have the pressure of, well, all you can do now is as we say, is bottle it or mess it up. It's the more games that go on, eventually that tag is going to be attached to them, and that'll be, I think, a different pressure that they haven't played with all season. Because all season, everyone is kind of saying it's not going to last, or it's eventually going to happen. Whereas there's going to become a point where it's like, oh, actually, Hearts are actually, they're completely in the driving seat here. Like, it's theirs to lose.
Producer Ryan, who sometimes works on this show but is not working just now and clearly has too much time in his hands, has gone to the trouble of photoshopping Benjamin Negrin's face for you onto the succulent Chinese meal guy getting huckled into the packet. Are you happy with that? Can you see that from where you're sitting? He's done a good job.
Yeah, that's exactly how I pictured it.
Going to send that to you, Russell. See you quickly on the offside thing. See if your club feel as aggrieved as you do, and you know, they get to phone Willie Collum today. They get to phone the VAR department, the ref department, whatever. I'm sure in time they get to hear the VAR audio and see the process. So if they're dissatisfied about it, would you expect to hear from them? Or if they don't say anything on it, does that mean they actually are satisfied that the right decision was reached?
There's a chance we might not make a big deal about it, because there is no big deal for Aberdeen now. We're just sitting languishing 7th, 8th in the league.
But be some statement to make, though, wouldn't it? Be some statement to make if you could expose some big error.
We should do. I mean, it's the kind of thing I laugh about Rangers doing, writing to the SFA, like a letter's going to change the result for them. But like, I think
what if they are satisfied with the explanation, though? Does that not kind of damage your theory?
No, my theory's spot on, Gordon.
That was answered like a true super scoreboard call, to be fair. That's what it's all about. Thank you to Russell on the line. Very quickly, Yang's 100th appearance for Celtic last night. Who are the 8 other Celtic players with the most appearances for the club who've represented a non-European country? We'd talk about UEFA's definition of Europe. So Rogic, Maeda, Hatate, Kyogo.
Right, okay. Abada?
No, because Israel play under UEFA.
All right, okay.
Carter Vickers.
Yep. Take one more guess quickly. We're going back a bit for some of them.
How far back?
Oh, just answer me the question. I don't know.
No, just you answer me.
There you go. Is this not making any sense to you, Gordon Dale? No, this guy getting huckled in the car saying, "What's the charge?" You've never seen that before.
Never.
It's one of the most like viral clips out there.
Is it? I've never seen that. I bet it's good.
Right, you ready? You ready for the last
let's go.
You ready for the last segment ever?
We shug all being his glory.
Before they close this show down.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Right now on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got tickets to give away to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Tonight we're giving away a pair of tickets to Harry Enfield at the King's Theatre on Wednesday the 25th of March, plus 2 courses and 2 drinks at Glasshue and Royal Exchange Square. I cannot believe these words are about to leave my lips. All you have to do is phone in with your best Hugh Keevans impression. What is going on? For the last few nights, we've given you a joke and you had to provide the punchline. Tonight, you have to give us your best Hugh Keevans impression. And the three of us will decide who's the best.
The problem is, he's never worked with you.
Me and you will decide. This is quite something. 01419511025. You have until the end of this break if you want to take part. And yeah, let's do it. Over 18s only. Let's give it a bash.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here, and they're about to be joined, sort of, by Hugh Keevans. Let's play this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Right now on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we are about to stoop to the lowest low ever on the show, and we've asked you lot to phone in and give us your best Hugh Keevans impression, all with the view of winning tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It's tickets to Harry Enfield at the King's Theatre on Wednesday, the 25th of March, plus two courses and two drinks at Glasshue in Royal Exchange Square. All you have to do is give up your dignity, basically, and you get to win that brilliant night out on us. All you have to do, a Hugh Keevans impression. Hugh has actually texted to say that, given how much he gets wrong on this show, even if he took part, he'd probably come second, which is quite true. So the lines are now closed. This competition has been much more popular than I thought it would be.
Are the three the people phoned in?
There's about 40 people trying
I'm
to get through the phone.
Desperate to hear this.
So thank you for calling. The lines are now closed. Shouldn't we really get Hugh on the line to pick the winner as well, rather than us? Or is that too complicated? Anyway, let's go. Caller number one is Mary in Airdrie. How are you, Mary?
I'm really good, thank you.
Mary, what's happening here? Why have you made this life choice? You really want to go to see Harry Enfield?
I don't really, my other half does, but I really love Hugh Keevans.
Oh, Mary, I feel for you.
Right, I'm going to regret this. Go on, Mary, let's hear it.
I repeat. A draw is a disaster, a defeat is a catastrophe.
You know what? Fair play. She's used a Hugh Keevans-ism.
That's his favourite one.
I like that. Okay, caller two is Paul in Bishopton.
Hello, Gordon.
Let's hear it, Paul.
At the end of the day, Gordon, as we head into the final minutes of the game, a draw is a defeat, a disaster... A defeat is a disaster.
By the way, he messed up the phrase, but my goodness, I'm starstruck.
Good.
Okay, last but not least, caller number three is Simon in East Kilbride. How are you, Simon?
Yeah, I'm not bad.
Well, go on, give us it. Let's hear your best shug.
I'm a weapon. I suppose I'd rather be called a specky chimp.
They were all pretty good efforts, you know.
I thought Mary and that was great, but number two there was, I thought he was very good.
Killian, you've never worked with Hugh, do you care? Let's be honest.
Ask Hugh.
I don't know where he is. Oh, he is actually. I know,
he's in the kitchen having a glass of red.
He'd be in the man cave. Let's line Hugh Keevans up and get him to pick who's the best person impersonating him. This show has really, really spiralled out of control tonight. We spent the break looking at the succulent Chinese meal video for Gordon DL. He really liked that line about get your hands off my... Hugh Keevans is on the line. Hugh, who was the best out of those three?
Well, I'm presently consulting my legal representation, but I would have to give it to number two, even though he totally messed up the phrase, Gordon.
I think that's a wise choice. Paul in Bishopton, you are the winner. Let's hear from Paul again. I want to hear that impression just one more time, because he's got the chance to get the phrase right as well. Caller two, Paul in Bishopton. Let's line him up. Paul, take it away one more time.
Thank you very much, Gordon. And currently calling in from my prehistoric mobile phone. Martin may as well pack his bags. The game is a bogey. The game is over. The title is heading to Edinburgh. Oh, there's a last minute penalty. Martin, you jabby.
Paul, is this something you do? Like, is it, have you just been waiting your big moment to unleash this on the world?
I've been known to do the odd impersonation, Gordon, over the years.
Paul, good on you. You'll have to see Harry Enfield at the King's and tickets to the dinner, and my head's gone. I'm gone. It's done. The drinks and the meal at Glasshue in Royal Exchange Square. Have a good night out on us, and that is a sterling effort. Well done.
Thank you very much, Gordon. You are a gem of a man.
And to the one and only, we'll see you tomorrow at 6.
I pass my love back to Mary.
What just happened? Seriously,
that was good.
Right, put me.
Imagine how much his eyes lit up when he heard what the actual competition was.
Hold on a minute!
Oh my god, I've finally got a chance to showcase my talent.
He was good, wasn't he?
Right, a couple more on that teaser. Non-Europeans who've represented Celtic the most times: Rogic, Maeda, Hatate, Carter Vickers, Kyogo,
Bobo Balde.
Is Aguirre one?
Yes.
Alistair Johnston?
Nope.
No, there was another one that. Palmer played it. Which
Luis Palmer. Oh, you think he's got more Celtic appearances than all of those guys you've mentioned?
I don't know.
For goodness sake. Luis Palmer.
Yeah.
That's the worst shout in a while.
Shaduri.
No, you need hundreds of Celtic appearances to get on this.
I'm struggling. Give us a clue.
He's Nigerian.
Effie Ambrose.
Effie Ambrose. There we go. I need a lie down after that. I did not expect Hugh Keevan's impersonations to round off the show. Thank you to Killian Sheridan and to Gordon Dalziel. And we take it up another notch tomorrow because we'll hear from Martin O'Neill. We'll hear from Danny Rule. We'll build up to the Scottish Cup game at Ibrox and all the other big games across the weekend with the aforementioned Hugh Keevans alongside Scott Allen. So enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We will speak to you tomorrow.